Good afternoon, and I want to welcome you to the February 22nd regular meeting of the Metropolitan Planning Commission. No, the day's the 21st, I'm thinking of the newspaper. So would you please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance?
We thank you, Lord, for the great, great weather that we're having. We thank you for all the many, many blessings that we receive. Look on our service men and women. Make them safe and sound, bring them home to us. Help us to make honest and not biased decisions today. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Have allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You may be seated. Now, there are agendas on the table outside near the hearing room. Today's agenda is broken down into several parts. We have notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. And next, we have the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. These items were reviewed during our pre-meeting, and then we moved to old business, regular business, other business, and then adjournment. There's a sign-in sheet near the door to the hearing room. Please sign this sheet to record your attendance at today's meeting. For those of you who would like to speak, we ask that you sign one of our blue speaker cards. Can you let me have one of those speaker cards? Just hold that up for me, please. That's the speaker card. If you sign that and give it to the person at the table, you may speak at the time designated. To outline the order in which the meeting is conducted, each petition has report presented by staff to board providing the information on the petition. After the staff presentation, board members may ask questions of staff regarding the presentation for clarification. The petitioner is then offered to make a presentation regarding his petition to the commission. A time frame of 10 to perhaps 30 minutes is allowed for the petitioner's presentation. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment, and the total public comment time will be equivalent to the amount of time the petitioner's presentation. Therefore, it's important that the speaker cards are provided to the chairman if you want to speak, because what we do is we divide the time frame between the number of people willing to speak. Once the floor is open to the for public comment on the petition, no additional public speaker cards will be allowed. So after public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for a rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. Today, we are introducing our new e-agenda system. So we're asking you to bear with us, but it will all be presented on the screen. And our first order of business is to accept the finance meeting. There was a finance meeting that was held today at 11:30, and then also there's a regular meeting scheduled for March 14th. And we have items, well, we need to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda.
Second. It's been moved and second to approve the agenda as
presented. Oh. So when they all voted, it was blinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are you going to talk about there? I'm waiting on Julie. She's coming up. I'm just my place.
Okay.
And I'm scared to take it back.
I'll start saying, because I voted on this one practice. Yeah, I pay all the shoes.
As as I was not wanting to keep going back, but that's something I did.
You should say, so who's not the one game question? I cover his pronouns on the U.S.
He's not connected. How many drunk boats? That's it? Bring little Mikey in here and let her vote for him.
So we're still voting. Next, we have items that are being removed. The zoning map 649 and 653 Little Neck Road, an amended master plan concept, and also those two items are being removed, and the comprehensive plan map for the corner of Jimmy DeLoach Parkway and Highlands Boulevard. Is there anyone here to speak on those items?
Motion to remove the items from time agenda to whatever date they've been requested.
Yeah, do we have a date for those items?
March 14th.
Second.
So it's been moved and second that we move these items from this today's agenda to the March 14th. Motion passes. Now we have one more bill. We're going to vote on the consent agenda now, right? The consent agenda consists of the January 31st meeting minutes and also the January 10th briefing and meeting minutes.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Shadrick.
Motion passes. The next item on the agenda is regular business. Mr. Butler, that is the rezoning of 6500 Waters Avenue.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Petition before you is a petition of Robert McCork, who was agent for Von Trapp Animal Lodge LLC, to rezone the property at 6500 Waters Avenue from the present PUD ISB to an OI designation. Subject property is 0.57 acres and is located on the east side of Waters Avenue at the intersection of Waters and Cornell Avenue here, the site of a former plant nursery. The petitioner wishes to rezone the property in order to establish a Use 25 animal hospital, veterinary clinic, animal boarding place, or animal grooming salon. The proposed use is permitted by right in the OI zoning district. The site was properly noticed. The uses surrounding the property, by the way, it's a commercial suburban designation on a future land use map. Here you see the tax map and the vicinity map. The properties around the subject property are a church to the north. To the east is commercial and office uses. To the south is a church and office uses, and to the west are office uses. The property is accessed by Waters Avenue, and which is considered a secondary arterial street in the city's street classification map, and is served by bus service on Waters Avenue via Route 27. The property is properly served by City of Savannah Utilities, and the proposed use is, as I said, a permitted by right. We find that the changing use from a PUD ISB to an OI is a lateral zoning change. PUD ISB would permit the proposed use as a special use, which would require City and Council action. However, since the OI is closer to the actual, is a closer designation to the actual use that's required, and is going to be continued under the new zoning, it was felt that the since the same process would be involved, that a rezone to OI would be more appropriate. We find that the proposed rezoning would have no negative impact vis-a-vis the existing zoning, and the use can be approved. Staff is recommending approval of the proposed use to an OI.
Any questions for Mr. Butler?
Yeah.
Mr. Ellis?
Policy analysis, you say the proposed use of animal boarding kennel. I thought it was a clinic.
It's a clinic and boarding kennel. And they'll keep the animals overnight or longer, I guess. The petitioner can speak to the specifics of the use. It's my understanding that it's going to be primarily a veterinary clinic, but it will have boarding facility on site. We have some site photos here. The former plant nursery has been completely removed.
All right. Is the petitioner here to present, please? Just state your name for the record.
Robert McCorkle, law firm McCorkle & Johnson, representing petitioner. We basically support staff's recommendation. It's in line with the future land use map. What we're going to build is going to be a whole lot prettier than what was there before. If you saw the pictures that were out there and you're familiar, there's a lot of medical offices around us. The piece, and I don't have my magic box out today, but the piece immediately next to us has just been purchased. A dermatologist's office is about to be built immediately next door. Diagonally across the street, you will see that piece had already been rezoned to OI. It is a medical office. There's a large medical facility behind the church, behind us. Our office is going to be a medical office. Dr. Von Trapp's here today. It's going to be both boarding as well as a veterinary clinic. I mean, it will do emergency services, rehab services, all those kind of things on site, but they will also board dogs on site, which is probably consistent with the way most of those operations work. We've talked to the church that owns the property behind us. We've talked to the church across the street. Don't have any issues, haven't had any negative comments, so we just ask for your approval.
I mean, the dog doesn't have to be sick. But like if somebody was going out of town, they could just drop their dog off there?
I believe they could, yes.
Any further questions?
And there are sound restrictions, by the way. The ordinance itself in our use has specific restrictions about the sound barriers built into the walls of these facilities and all those kind of things to protect any neighborhood uses, but there are no residential or anything else that's around us.
It's any kind of pet, dogs, cats, birds, whatever.
I guess so. You got one you need somewhere to put?
Something you're trying to get rid of.
I don't think they take them permanently. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone in the audience? I don't have any speaker cards. I didn't know if there was anyone here who could speak on that.
Second.
So it's been moved and second to accept staff recommendation. Moved by Mr. Cook and second by Mr. Ruff. Motion passes. Thank you very much. That was pretty harmless. So next on the agenda, we have a presentation from Ms. Karen Jenkins on the Smart Design Parking Lots.
Karen Jenkins. I'm the director of the Savannah Tree Foundation, and I'm going to click this over to the slide view. And while that's queuing up, this is Heather Gordon, who works with the Tree Foundation and is our grant writer and has been very instrumental in the grant project we're going to tell you about in the next 15 to 20 minutes. So, the Department of Natural Resources, in partnership with the Metropolitan Planning Commission and the Savannah Tree Foundation, applied for a Cycle 18 Coastal Incentive Grant, which we were awarded for a smart design parking lot project. And it was under the category of a sustainable communities, and DNR Coastal Incentive Grant looks to fund projects which can be replicated throughout coastal Georgia and help with community sustainability. So we have, and I think there was a link to the PDF in your packet of our guidebook, which is the finished product of this grant project. The PDF you got is not the final version, but we will be emailing that to you in the next couple weeks. We're also working on our educational plans for our outreach to students, working with Savannah Chatham County Public School Systems, and outreach to professionals. Our project partners include the Metropolitan Planning Commission, Coastal Civil Engineering, Mandel Design Landscape Architecture, Charlie Veland, who is a retired ecology educator, Tommy Lindstrath, the American Society of Landscape Architects, the Coastal Georgia Chapter, science teachers from our local school district, and NOAA, who is the funder of this grant project through the Department of Natural Resources. So just for a little update, for those of you who might not be totally familiar with the Savannah Tree Foundation, we were founded in the early 80s by three women who were concerned by the loss of trees on Savannah's south side. In the upper right, we have Susie Williams, Linda Beam, and Paige Hungapeller. Paige, for those of you who knew her, didn't know, she did pass away at the end of December last year. We're sad she's gone, but we've got some new trees planted for her along White Bluff Road on the south side. And I don't expect you to see the small newsprint on this very important article, but it is dated August 1981 with the headline of "The Planting of Trees is Vital to Savannah." And so here we are 35 years later, and we still think the planting of trees is vital to Savannah. So our mission is pretty straightforward: to preserve, protect, and plant canopy trees throughout Savannah and Chatham County. We do work throughout the entirety of Chatham County. We do that through education, advocacy, and hands-on tree plantings. Just as a quick reminder, we are a recognized 501c3 not-for-profit. We don't get funding from any of the local governments. We go out and fundraise all of our funds to keep our doors open and the lights on. We have 15 members on our board of directors. They're all volunteers. We have over 300 contributors annually. We have over 500 volunteers helping at our tree planting and maintenance events every year. And we plant over 100 trees throughout Chatham County, always on public land. Quickly, this orange sign, and now they're green, that is put up by the City of Savannah Park and Tree Department. I do not work for the City of Savannah Park and Tree Department. That is for the City of Savannah. We are an independent 501c3, but we are huge advocates for the City of Savannah Park and Tree Department. They do a great job with their limited resources. They always need more, but they are the ones out there managing our urban trees in the City of Savannah.
The orange signs mean what? They do what?
The orange lines, typically the trees will be removed by the city staff or their consultants. But as you can see, this tree with an orange sign has been damaged. Half of it broke away. And it's a good reminder that trees in urban areas need management. We are not in a forest. We are in a city in urban areas with lots of people and competing interests. So trees in urban areas need management. And by management, we don't mean getting rid of all the trees, because that's not a way to manage trees. We do like our city, and we are known in Savannah and coastal Georgia for our beautiful trees. So being good managers and stewards of trees, the Savannah Tree Foundation 3 years ago took on doing an updated assessment of our canopy across Chatham County. From the top left graph, you can see in 1992, Chatham County had 50% tree canopy, and in 2014, we were down to 36%, losing three football fields a day over the 15-year period from 1999 to 2014. We have a lot of growing businesses, new roads, new schools, new distribution centers. There's a lot of pressure on our tree cover in our county. So yes, we are losing trees, but coming out of this assessment of knowing we're losing trees, we looked at five areas where the Tree Foundation can focus our efforts. Public health is very important in our community, our water resources, both the rivers and then the marsh, environmental equity, not every street in Savannah is as beautiful and tree-lined as others, our schools. Our Savannah-Chatham County Public School System has over 1,500 acres of property, educating over 40,000 students. There's a lot of potential impact with good trees in those schools, and parking lots, because we're not gonna ever stop building and using parking lots. So in our study, we found that over 1.5% of Chatham County is covered in parking lots, and the tree cover in parking lots is particularly low at just about 21%. The previous number was 36% for the average of tree cover over all of Chatham County. And this picture even shows that on the Saturday before Christmas, even the parking lots aren't full. So maybe there's an opportunity to have more trees in parking lots, because some of those spaces aren't used ever. But we all love the shaded parking space, right? We all seek it out in the middle of summer in the 9 months out of the year when it's hot. So let's talk about trees and parking lots. And let's remember that trees do a lot for our community, not just make it pretty, but they lower ambient temperatures. Trees help absorb stormwater. Trees help control erosion, mitigate flooding. Trees have been shown to help improve retail sales, and trees help protect water quality, and even views of trees and exposure to trees can help reduce stress. I'm sure from your view there, looking out through the windows at the trees can be very calming during some of the more heated MPC presentations. But yet, we still have these big parking lots without very many trees. So, and we have this great example of a big tree in a parking lot. Here is my friend Mr. Dale Kreitz, who preserved his big tree in his car parking lot. And I have this slide because one tree is able to mitigate 48 pounds of carbon dioxide per year, and yet we know a car on average can burn through 1 gallon of gas and produce 20 pounds of carbon dioxide per gallon. So we know trees are really good at mitigating some of these emissions we're putting into our air. And from our canopy study, we know that all of the trees in Chatham County are helping to clean our air, and the monetary benefit of those trees cleaning the air is about $8.5 million annually just in their air quality improvement capacity. So knowing all the great things trees do for us, we said, well, how can we make this more applicable to our coastal area? And there are some design guidebooks out there. Hopefully some of you are familiar with the Coastal Stormwater Supplement. It's that little 550-page document from 2009 that sort of got re-updated in April of 2016 under the auspices of the Georgia Stormwater Management Manual, which is this tidy, very palatable 1,000 pages, right? Because we all want to read through those big books to find the best in parking lot design and management. But really what we wanted is something short and easy to digest, like a 20 to 30 page white page synopsis of how to build a better parking lot in Chatham County. So back to our trees and parking lots. This table shows how many trees you would need of various sizes to achieve a certain percent of canopy cover. If you look at 50%, sort of right there in the middle, and go all the way over to the right, we see that we need 18 large trees per acre to achieve 50% canopy cover. And that 50% canopy cover is the stated goal in the City of Savannah Landscape Ordinance, but not all of our municipalities have such a robust ordinance. So again, anything we can transfer throughout the different municipalities and our communities across coastal Georgia will help increase the number of trees. So here is a page from our Smart Design Parking Lot Guidebook showing one of the options for an improvement over your basic asphalt parking lot. This one's looking at permeable pavers, and we did use sort of both examples of using either sandy soil or clay soil, because those of us who've dealt with soils on both sides of Chatham County know that on the east side by the beach, the soil is very sandy, and the conditions on the west side where it's clay are very different, and we want our engineers and our designers and our planners to be able to use this guide and say, well, gosh, I'm on the west side where the soil is very clay, and also for the sand. So we've got good pictures for descriptions on the different applications. We've got pictures of local examples of these practices in use in across our community, because that's really important. Obviously, there are great examples from Portland, Oregon, or Milwaukee, Wisconsin, but we want examples applicable to coastal Georgia. This is another page excerpt from the document. On the right, you can see we highlight the advantages of the particular example of parking lot, reducing the heat island effect, allowing for a healthier tree, or some of the disadvantages could be ongoing maintenance or annual maintenance for some of the different applications. And again, another picture of a smarter design project where hopefully these young bald cypress at Hodge Elementary School will benefit from the stormwater runoff that is being directed into that tree island. At the end of the guidebook here, we've got sort of a summary table that points out some of the cost benefit analysis, where a traditional concrete parking lot has a cost of $9 per square foot to build, sort of lower maintenance costs, but because it's concrete, it is absorbing that heat and does not have a great environmental benefit, whereas if you invest a little bit more at the onset and the maintenance with your porous paver, your environmental benefit will go up over the lifetime of that parking lot. So again, just to remind you of all the important reasons why trees and parking lots are important to our community, there they are again. And as a final reminder, taking care of trees is a local job. You cannot call somebody in Asia on a 1-800 number to come take care of your trees. The more trees we have in our community, there are more local jobs for taking care of those trees. And lastly, if the Georgia Ports Authority can balance having their parking lot for cargo containers next to big, beautiful trees, we can all do our part to have trees across our community. And for you and your role as MPC commissioners to carefully consider parking when you're looking at plans and projects for review, and also encourage developers to preserve, plant, and maintain trees across our community, because what would our community be without trees? Any other questions?
Is that Mulberry Grove Plantation? You just had.
No, that is that is the Port Authority property. It's
what's the old plantation name?
Whitehall.
It's next to the cemetery.
It's the one past the cemetery. It's not the tree at the cemetery, but the next preserved area.
Mr. Overton.
You seem to suggest that some of the shopping center parking lots are never occupied with cars. The alternative aspect is that by zoning requirements or building requirements, there are so many spaces per net square footage of rental area. Are you suggesting that that should be reconsidered and have less parking spaces required for new shopping centers?
Either for new shopping centers or the redevelopment of shopping centers.
So do you have some guidelines that you would suggest that we consider?
Well, I don't at this point, but I know I discussed it a couple years ago with Marcus Watson when the unified zoning ordinance was more in discussion, because I think there was a change in the calculation for the number of required parking spaces based on the square footage of the commercial development. Mm-hmm. But until the existing ordinance is changed, that number stays.
Mr. Fleming.
One thing I'd like to say, though,
Mr. Fleming,
is
the mic.
I got a big mouth. You would have to say that we're doing a much better job than in the past.
Oh, yeah.
And I think there's a misconception in the fact that this idea, it's on, that when you mandate, which some would require businesses to do, that they have fewer parking spaces, that's automatically going to translate into more open space. It's not. What's going to happen is the accumulation of that space that wasn't developed as parking is going to end up being more industrial or commercial structures that's going to cover that. So it's not like it's going to be a open space bonanza, so to speak, by restricting that parking to a certain number. I'm here to say, although I'm not in private practice or entrepreneur or businessman or anything else, they're not going to put in more spaces than they are than they think that their business is going to require. And I think they know better than I or you or anyone else what their businesses will require in order to produce. The most efficiency in retail sales. You may disagree with that, I don't know, but I think there's a balance. There's too much sometimes, I think, push on one side to curtail the business community when they're already inundated with, I call
right,
it.
Right, I mean, the intent of the document is to offer suggestions for alternatives.
And I agree with that, especially on if someone wants to do porous paving or anything. I'm a big advocate of having tree islands. I think that's one of the best things that's ever happened. Back when it was first introduced in Chatham County, I think by the biggest tree hugger I know, Hans Neuhauser, in Wilmington Island. It's a great thing, and it took off from there. And like you said, everybody wants to park under a tree in a parking lot. I think a perfect example of sometimes the not being able to save trees, but because of the situation where it has to be elevated so much, and in some cases has to be clear cut, Look at Savannah Mall now. That's a perfect example of what happens when you have a replanting practice in the place. Look at it. It's thriving now in terms of, unfortunately, the store's not, but the parking lots are. So I think there's a balance that we don't need to go too far one way or the other, but I think there's a common line that we need to, both sides need to examine.
Thank you, Mr. Welch.
You know, one thing, I'm all for saving the oak trees. They are beautiful. They make up our landscape. You know, it's amazing how many trees were lost in the storm, Hurricane Matthew, that you didn't realize, especially where I live at Skidaway Island, how many were rotted in the middle, that were hollow. And just the hazard knowing they were standing that way, you wouldn't know it looking at them. They're beautiful, they're green, changing leaves, the season, but the inside was hollow, how it could just, the wind took that tree down and just destroyed several homes out there. There's really no way to know that.
No.
Am I right? To be able to find an oak tree like that?
Each tree's obviously unique. I've heard both sides of the stories where, you know, consulting arborists who had surveyed trees on properties and helped manage those trees, and other homeowners who hadn't had any tree management done suffered tree losses. So I think there's a lot to be said for good tree care and having your trees inspected, you know, every 2 years by a certified arborist can help a lot for preventing some of these tragedies that happen during the storm.
And I'm all for tree islands, just like the Skidaway Island Rodney Hall boat ramp. You know, the county, I was an installer of the irrigation system going under the pavement on 16 oak trees that were planted, with each one of them having an irrigation line run to each one of them to water.
Right, well, irrigation is critical. We haven't had but half an inch of rain this month.
And you have to have water to
them. We can't plant a tree without a watering program.
Yeah.
I guess I've got another question.
How are you interfacing with the Department of Transportation when they do a new parkway road and you suggest, I guess, let's plant some trees and they probably say, what's a tree? Because there's a lot of parkway roads built that don't have that in the budget, I guess.
It's been challenging.
What are you doing with regard to encouraging the engineers to understand that trees are important?
Well, I think we're having greater success working with our local engineers than the GDOT engineers. I think the recent example is the Truman Parkway completion and trying to work with them. I know there's still a lot of homeowners and residents out on Whitfield Ave by Hess Elementary School who would like to see trees in that median, but it is State Route 204, so it all has to go through GDOT. But the sections of the road that have been turned over to the city or the county, we're able to work with the Park and Tree Department through the city of Savannah to help retree those areas.
Okay.
And GDOT is getting better than they were. They did save the big oak tree down at King George Boulevard. It's still standing.
For now, it's standing, yes.
I have to ask you, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
My name tag?
Promoting trees on our funnel.
It was made in cooler.
My question is, are you working with developers as well?
Yeah, we're reaching out to the landscape architects who work with the engineering firms in town and spreading the word.
Because that seems a lot of the parking lots are on private property.
So exactly.
The Christ was a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. And any other questions for Ms. Jenkins? Thank you very much. I think it was awesome.
Well, thank you for partnering with us to be able to allow us to get this grant from DNR to do this work. Thank you.
Very good.
We do all want trees.
So, no further items on the agenda? Then we're going to move into executive session. I'm going to hit my gavel. Yeah, so we have reconvened from the executive session for a couple of things, and a couple of things are to redevelopment plans. And I'll do that, and then we can adjourn.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir?
I think we need to make a statement that We did not take any action from the executive board meeting. We only spoke on matters of personnel. So I'm going to make that statement.
Thank you, Mr. Coleman.
No votes were taken.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. So I'm going to read the development of plans.
I'll say it on the...
It's at the very bottom. At the very bottom.
They are coming up.
Did you click on that?
Oh. Okay, that's it.
Do.
The council. Here we go. So, the developmental review case law for February 21st are as follows. The American Building Renovation, located at the 7 Drayton Street, is the site plan under review. The Insignia of Savannah Parking and Building Addition, located at 11310 White Bluff Road, is the site plan under review. Derrick Landing, which is 535 Derrick N Road, is the subdivision under review. And that's phase two of Derrick Landing. Then we have Multistone Warehouse Expansion located at 1017 Lyons Avenue, and that's the site plan under review. And the Wilshire Estates Parcel 2, which is located at Wilshire Boulevard and White Bluff Road, is the subdivision under review. And the Avondale Subdivision Recombination Plat at 2500 Tennessee Avenue is the subdivision under review. And with that, are there any other business you might want to take care of? If not, I'm going to adjourn this meeting. Thank you very much. I appreciate you.